Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate or give it to one of the ushers. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Also, please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon. And the insert in your bulletin, there are a couple of inserts there, for activities scheduled during the week and next Sunday. The topic for the Bible class at 3:30 this afternoon here asks the question, what is the pastor of a church supposed to do? And we will be examining directed by Pastor Tomlinson, the answer, the biblical answer to that question. Also, there will be a tomorrow, July 10th, at 6 p.m., the quarterly deacons meeting, and we will meet here at the church at 6 o'clock. This is tomorrow evening. Our scripture reading printed in your bulletin is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 37, How Great Thou Art. Let us continue our worship with hymn number 272, The Solid Rock.
Jesus Christ.
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 393, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Please remain standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. He's our High Priest, and He's the one, according to a Scripture, that is qualifying and taking our prayers into the very presence of God. Lord, we open the doors again at Bethel Baptist Church, and the fear and trembling of presenting the Word of God to people. As a church body, we want to feed our congregation with the wisdom of God, with the knowledge of Thy Word. And as today, as we start a new series of studies and a new book of the Bible, it's always exciting because we have been there. We have read the book of Proverbs many, many, many times. But Father, each time we read it, we find a new light and a new thought for our life. And so Father, we pray that as we fellowship in the Scripture, as we fellowship in the songs the choir will bring to us for worship, and as we love each other through the Word of God, we pray that Your mercy be bestowed upon someone here in the auditorium, or there in the internet, or in the radio ministry, or perhaps someone in the tape ministry or CD ministry, in so many areas in which we're trying to let people know what God said. Oh, Father, we need Your mercy to have Your light, and we need Your power to believe it. And so we claim, oh God, with all our heart, that You will bestow upon someone today that knowledge of the Almighty, a sweet, tender God who sent His Son to die in my place in Calvary's tree. Lord, not only we do that, but many churches in the area, and we pray for these other churches that they too be faithful to the Word of God, that each pastor with trembling will present the message from the Word to people so that people can be converted and be saved and change the city of Morgan Hill altogether. Father, we pray for those missionaries of ours, for Fred and Carol Lewis, who is resting now for a recovery, and new surgeries are planned for their life. For Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. For Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain. For David and Denise Rhodes in Papua, New Guinea. And for Giovanni and Barbara Vendano. And Father Giovanni will be with us tonight. And we pray that his message and his presentation will give us an insight of what these young men have done in 4 years and what you have done through him in the city of Guatemala. Then for Marta Peretti, for the Recovery Center, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, the Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, and Daniel and Miriam Lacey, at the motorsport ministry. Father, thank you that you allow these missionaries, give us vision to have more, so other people too are able to bring the gospel in different places. We thank you, Lord, for what we saw for missionary Dante and his wife Maruja last Sunday and his ministry all over the Amazon River as he developed his work as a dentist and as an evangelist. Oh, Father, thank you for that. A place that we will never have idea exists. A place that live an entire different way than we do. The people are there and you love people. And so, Father, thank you for the love you have placed in Dantes and Maruja. And thank you that he left everything for you, Father. So, Father, now we pray that you will give wisdom tomorrow to the deacons to decide and the support of this wonderful man who is willing to go whatever you tell in his heart. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you. And thank you for your people who gave for the ministry. They're wonderful people. They love you, Lord. They love you. In Bethel, the people love you. And because they love you, they provide for the offering. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Proverbs. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 388. We will be reading Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. Would you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Proverbs 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for the wisdom and knowledge that we gain from the Scriptures. We thank you that since we have been born of incorruptible seed through your word, we no longer are swayed by the wisdom of the world. We thank you for your mercy in sending the Lord Jesus Christ, whose person and work have made it possible for us to know you and to guide us into wisdom. We thank you that you have shown us that to fear you is the only basis for true wisdom and knowledge. We can say with the hymn writer that it was grace that taught our hearts to fear, and grace our fears relieved. We are in awe and worship and praise you for revealing yourself as the Creator, Savior, and Judge. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you would bless him with all wisdom as he comes to expose the truth from the Scriptures. For us here and those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, we pray for understanding so that we are enabled to seek after that which is good. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And I have received a request of a family who lost someone in Salinas. and to pray for the family of Susan as know that she have died, I think, yesterday. So let's have a word of prayer. Also for our brother, our own brother, D-Span, who have a very bad accident and is hurt very much. Father, we come to you as the Father of comfort. And Paul said comfort with these words. And we pray for this family and Salinas, Susan Snow, that you may, through this accident, speak to them about the greatness and the power and the comfort of God. And we pray for our brother, D-Span, who also is suffering from an accident, that you will give him patience as he is on recovery. In Jesus we pray, amen. You turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs. And it is always, to me, excited to start a new book in the Bible. Even though most of you have read Proverbs over and over and over again, I want to tell you that each time you read the scriptures, they are afresh and they are right there for you. And I have put in the bulletin an outline of what most likely I will teach to you. You know, when I teach, I just have my Bible and maybe I add or take what I wrote before. But it's just great to see the book of Proverbs afresh. The book of Proverbs is, to me, you can make a statement about the book of Proverbs by saying that the book of Proverbs describes the laws of life, how God provides different laws so that we can have a well counsel from God concerning life for believers. The 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs reveals a summary of practical theology and philosophy for the believers. If you like philosophy, you can read these over and over again, and you will see how wonderful God explained himself. The key verse of the first chapter is found in verse 7. The Bible says in verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this is the key verse of the entire chapter. And as I read the verse, it is obvious that what we read there is very clear. God is saying this to us. First comes knowledge of God. Then you acquire knowledge in every area of your life. And so God is saying the law of knowledge is this. First, you know me. And then you will know everything. I read it again. The fear of the Lord. Notice that doesn't say the Roman Catholics, the Protestants, the Mohammed people. Doesn't say that. The one who fears the Lord. Do you notice in the King James, Lord in capital letters? So indicate the name of God, Jehovah. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of knowledge. So if you really want to know, if you really want to know, there is a law, and the law is this. You first have to know God, and then you will know everything else. And know any God, but the God of Israel, Jehovah. All right? That gave me the opportunity then to deal with you in this area. First, we're going to look that knowledge is essential for you. Then, knowledge need to be experienced. Knowledge without practical, without practice is no good. And then, also, we're going to see that there is an enemy of knowledge. There is an enemy of knowledge. So here is the clear picture. Knowledge is essential for God. If you really want to know life, if you really want to know what's going on around you,
If you really want to know what's going on in the schools in America, if you really want to know what's going on in the Congress of the United States, if you really want to know, you need to know God first. And knowledge is essential. Knowledge also is experiential. You need to experience that knowledge. Parentheses, watch out, there is an enemy of knowledge. Are you ready to study? We have a good half hour, and we can study this word knowledge today, all right? The book of Proverbs is so rich, the chapter 1 will take me a year to explain it there. But it's just so beautiful, all right? Knowledge is essential. Knowledge is essential to the comprehension of facts. Of facts. The texts here tell us that the acceptance of God as the first cause and source of all things is the basis on which all truth must rest. God said, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Now, I'm going to give you an example from the Bible. Some people study long years in university to become physicists, which is the hardest studies in science, physicists, more than engineering. Just to know that there is no creator. They believe in evolution. They believe in all kinds of things. They never learn anything. So, you know, here's what the scripture says. This is very important, what the scripture says. The scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, all right? Let's talk about the universe, all right? Genesis 1:1. We go to Genesis 1:1. And you talk about the world, the universe that we see, all right? Here's what the text says. Bara, Bereshit, Elohim, Mashahim, Mashahet. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. First words you learn in Hebrew class, in elementary Hebrew class. Bara, He created. All right? Bereshit, beginning. Can know that beginning. Beginning. He created, beginning. Because God is infinite, you cannot put a dot to God. Okay, He created, beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. What else? You travel and you see heaven. You are right here, you see the earth. God created. And people said, well, it's hard to understand. I do believe it's hard to understand. If you study physics, if you study chemistry, it's hard to understand. The heavens and the earth, God created. You mean that God said cows, and they were all cows. I don't think even He mentioned cows. I think He said animals, and everything was their form. He said grass, and all the grass was done. Trees. Have you seen the different trees as you travel? Trees, and all the trees were done. It's about, you really are not intelligent. That's what they said to you. You're an educated person, and you believe that? That's what God said. Remember I told you? God said the beginning, all right? It's very clear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. I believe it with all my heart. How do you understand it? Very simple. Once you know God, once you know that the God of the Bible is your God, once you have a relationship to God through His provided Son, Jesus Christ, now you can understand everything. How would I understand how God created the universe then? All right, Hebrews chapter 3, page 709. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Here's what God says, Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 3. Look at what the Bible says. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Do you got it? Is not that a nice piece of philosophy? The tree that you see today do not came from another tree. Gabriel Otero do not came from a monkey, thank God. You got it? The things that are seeing today are not made of things that you see. In other words, wood do not produce wood. Water do not produce water. Matter do not produce matter for God. And by faith, I look on it and I understand it. There is a designer. You know, you hear now on newspapers for the first time, intelligent design. I don't like that. I like God designed it. God designed it. God is more than intelligent. He's God. Elohim. He designed it. And so Proverbs, it tells me very clear that knowledge is essential to comprehend the facts. All right? So I know God. Now I understand everything that goes on. All right? Now, secondly, knowledge is essential to the inspiration of faith. How can I have faith? That's very hard. You cannot go to college and have faith. You cannot go to the pharmacy and say, give me two bottles of faith. Where do I get faith? From knowledge. Knowledge of what? Let's go. Romans chapter 10. All right, page 6, 7. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, page 667. Knowledge is essential to the inspiration of faith. How am I going to have the faith to believe? Here is what the Bible says. So then, says the scripture, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the soccer game. Now, some of you maybe want to do that at 12, but I tell you, that is not what the Bible says. Hearing a book of philosophy, that's not what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing the word of Deo, God. God. So first you need to have the word of God into your head. You got it? So people say, I cannot believe it. You do understand. How many times you read the Bible? How many times? Never. Okay, here's a Bible. Read it 4 or 5 times and then come back and talk to me. And they said, you mean the Bible? Yeah, where I started, where the Bible started, Genesis 1. Just read it. You know, when you have a book, where do you start? In the middle? No, you start in the beginning. You say, I don't understand it. Don't worry about it. Keep on reading and then start all over again until you understand it. He said, how is this? You don't need any teacher. You don't need anybody. You need to pray, God, wherever you are. I don't know your name. I don't know who you are. But please, you wrote this book. Help me to understand it. And just wait. And you will see. Well, nobody wants to humble themselves, you know? Nobody wants to say, well, what do you mean? I need help from God? Yeah, that's the only book you need help from God. If God do not give you light, you don't know anything. But the Bible said, as you treasure the knowledge of God, first come the knowledge of God, then the knowledge of God creates faith. That's what the verse said. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. You need to have the word of God, and the word of God brings you to Christ. When somebody said, I have a dream, and now know God, I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. Because the Bible says you don't know God by dreams. You know God by the Word of God. The Word of God fills you. And then at a given moment, you say, wow, I see it. And you try to tell somebody and they don't know. And you feel frustrated because the other person doesn't know what you know. So knowledge is essential. You need to know God. And the best way to know God is to take your Bible and read it. Where do I read it? Anytime you want to and any place. My favor is that every day you read a chapter in the book of Proverbs. Today is July 9, so we read chapter 9. Just read it. Don't worry if you understand it or not. Read it. If you see something important, just jot down and go on. When you got to the end of the month, you start all over again in Proverbs. Do that 20 times, 20 years, and you will see. So knowledge is essential. That's what he said. The beginning, that is very clear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Nobody knows anything until that person respects God as the one who is the creator, who is the provider. I was talking to a fellow who believed in natural creation. Another fellow believed in progressive creation. They said they believe in God, and they explained to me how God created things in a long space of time. But you know, Jesus said in John 11, it's not 12 hours in a day, so there is 12 hours in the night. Jesus described how big is the day. They want to say that the day of creation, one day for God was millions of years. How stupid. I don't want to use that word. How bad can be, because Jesus defined in John 11, is not 12 hours in a day. And remember, when the Jews say a day, they're talking about 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 p.m. Night, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So, you know, I said, come on, fellas, come on. Believe God. That's what's needed. All right? Knowledge is essential. What else? All right, here it is. Knowledge needs to be experienced. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Solomon is implying a relationship with God. You notice? The fear of the Lord is not just saying, join a church. No, he said the fear of the Lord, the respect of God. That's a relationship. That's a relationship. All right? That's the beginning. Now, in terms of human response, I want to show you two responses on this wonderful fear of God. Fear of God involves a reverential trust in God. We will never be able to experience the power of God in our life till we come to terms with God in a reverential way, that not only are we going to know Him in our head, we're going to respect Him in our heart. And I want to give you a verse. Turn your Bible to Psalm 25, verse 14, page 350. You're using the Bible here. Is 350, Psalm 25 and verse 14. We will never be able to experience the power of God in our life till we come to terms with God in a reverential way. Look at what the Bible says in Psalm 25, verse 14. The counsel of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And He makes known to them His covenant. We studied last Sunday night here. Every Wednesday night we study a psalm. And we study Psalm 89, the covenant of God. And I only read and studied 10 verses. What God is doing with His people. If you read that psalm and you believe it, you think you are a super billionaire of what you are. For God. Well, all the things that God does for us. And what the Bible said here in Psalm 25, 14, the counsel of the Lord is for those who fear Him. And in other words, if you need to, if you're going to apply that knowledge of God, it's because you respect Him. You respect Him. I'm very sure you can do anything you want to, but you will not, because you respect God. We Christians do not need a policeman beside to watch what we do, because we fear the Lord, who is everywhere. We respect God. And when you take out those eyes from the respect of God, problems come in our life, because the old nature kicks on. But when you respect God, when you say, before I do this, say college students need to choose a university. Well, if you fear God, you pray. You say, God, this is what I would like to study. Where is the best place according to my circumstances? And you are happy with the final accord that God will provide for you. And God will provide something you never dream in your life. But you see, you need to fear God. Respect God. Respect God. Somebody said, you think I have to obey my parents all the time? Well, what do you think? He said, even when they are wrong, because my parents sometimes are wrong. I know, because I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent, sometimes I'm wrong. Do I have to obey him? He said, what the God said. The children, obey your parents. Ephesians 6:1. When? Obey your parents. Apokousomen. That means like a sergeant, voice of command in the army. When a sergeant said, right, turn. You don't say, well, let me see. If you don't want to be in jail, you turn with the sergeant. And so that's the voice. If the father said, this is the way to God, you obey him. Why? Because you're respecting God. What if my father is wrong? Well, it's his problem with God, not with you. You got it? Wife, submit to your husband. You, baby, let's just study the word submit. Well, you can S U. You can read it. Submit means submit. But how can we understand that? Submit means submit. But my husband's stupid. Don't worry about it. I say that, darling, because somebody told me in my office. My husband's stupid. I said, well, it's your husband, not mine. So, I had no problem with that. But you marry him, and you should love him and respect him. Why? Because God says so. I had a lady in the office and the radio one time, and I had those chairs. And she left the chair to plug it in the husband's head because he spent all the money gambling. And I said, don't do that. The chair is too expensive. I don't care about his head, but the chair. You see what it is? You marry somebody and you find the imperfections. It's true, but you follow God's rules. God is like a coach in the soccer. He said the goalie plays here, the fullback here, the middle here, and two forward here. And don't try to play in somebody else's place. It's fantastic. You need to experience knowledge from God, but it's tough. It's tough. Because it's against all what this society is saying. It's against all what the society is saying. You know, we are in the season. Today is the last day of soccer. And so, if I'm not watching, I'm listening. And I turn it 1 hour before or 2 hours before and so on. And I have them back. And there is a psychologist that comes before soccer in Spanish and radio 1170. Isabel is her name. And sometimes she got it right. And sometimes she said things, darling, leave that man. She counseled divorce like a pancake. Just get that man off and get the new man. I even called myself one time. The line was off. I cannot talk to you. You know, when you don't have the knowledge of God, you can counsel like that. You go to a psychologist who doesn't know God, he's going to mess up your life. He's in a mess, and you will be in more mess. Yeah. In my early days of my pastorship, young fellow of 40 years old, and I'm not too old, but a young fellow of 40 years old, one of my deacons, Newer Bible Church in City of Newark, one of my deacons, I got in trouble for his own self and went to a psychologist. And you know what the psychologist told him? Be yourself. And you know what he did? He went to a bar. And his wife told me, at that time I drove a tiny, remember the old Volkswagens, the tiny little. And his wife said, my husband's in a bar, he called me. Where is the bar? I went over there as his pastor. What a shepherd does, he gathered his people. And if a sheep goes a different way, he just knock it down. So I went over there and I see him sitting in the laps of a lady who was not his wife, drinking beer. So I grabbed him by the neck, opened the door of my car and threw him in. He was drunk, so he cannot do nothing. I went home and I said to her, don't talk tonight. He's going to sleep. I come tomorrow. Very high position in the railroad track of America. Very high. One of the top men, CEO. And I said, tell me, what's going on? He said, the psychologist told me I can do anything I want to. Give me the name. And I went to visit him. He said, I need help. So I was there. And I said, I need help. I want to do this. And he told me the same. Do what you want. Grab him. See, people without God, they do all kinds of mistakes because they don't have the knowledge of God. So experiential knowledge, reverential knowledge of God, also a penitential trust in God. The fear of the Lord combines reverential trust and penitential. You want to know what the fear of God really is? Move your Bible to Proverbs 8 and verse 13, page 391. Proverbs 8 and verse 13, there is what the fear of God really is. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Proverbs 8:13. The verb is right. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogancy, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. In other words, this is what the fear of the Lord is. You really have hatred for evil. You don't have any relationship with evil. Now that you fear the Lord. When you got that kind of a attitude in you, you fear the Lord. That means you now are experiencing in your life the knowledge of God. Wherever is evil, I don't touch it. The people don't look it. I even don't entertain myself to do this. I just stay away as far as possible from this. Boy, what a great counsel. What a great counsel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Young people, you want to begin a great career, just fear the Lord. Don't worry about mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4 all the time. Don't worry about it. But you fear the Lord, and the Lord is going to move you. And it's going to move you to places you never dream. You never dream. You fear the Lord. As a soccer player, I have been tempted 100,000 times. By the mercies of God, I conquer. And I was moved in my team more and more and more. When you wear the blue and white jersey on a field, you feel like you're a king on this earth. And I never was an extraordinary player. I only just catch balls. But I tell you, the coaches, they want players who are clear cut and truthful and clean. And you know, God is expecting that God is our coach. And he's expecting that we have a clear cut life in this earth. And that we shine to this glory. How we do that? We fear God. Then we read the scripture. We got the knowledge of God. And we believe what God said because this is it. Now, bad news. Usually it's good news. This is what a psychologist is trying to do. To give you good news, bad news, and good news at the end. So you leave the office very happy and pay the $200. But I want to give you the bad news at the end. There is an enemy. There is an enemy of knowledge. Go back to Proverbs 1 and look in verse 7. There is an enemy of knowledge. At the end of verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Bible labels the enemy of knowledge. What is it? Fools. I don't call you a fool. The Bible labels fools. Fools are the enemy of knowledge. So the Bible labels the enemy of knowledge. Also, the Bible describes the enemy of knowledge. Move your Bible to, you are in Proverbs, go back to Psalm 14 and verse 1. The book before Proverbs is the book of Psalms. Go to Psalm 14 and verse 1. And look, the Bible now describes who is a fool. All right? It's not somebody who doesn't know mathematics or sociology or history. Who is a fool? Psalm 14 verse 1. The fool says in his heart, what is it? There is no God. That's a fool, according to the Bible. Don't get upset with me. When I read that and I was young, I was really upset. I don't read the Bible. Close the Bible. So they call me a fool. Well, at least I acknowledge I will have no God. And that helped me to read it again. Why I asked myself, why I don't have God? And my grandmother has God and my mother has God. Why I don't have God? So I'm going to read this book and find out. And I found out. So the Bible labeled the enemy as a fool. And the fool is described in the Bible as someone who is an unbeliever. An atheist. Now, the Bible also reveals how the atheists work. I want to show it to you. First, the atheists work on the repression of truth. You see it every day in the newspaper in the United States of America. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. Go back to the book of Romans in chapter 1 and verse 18. The Bible gives you a complete and wonderful description of how the fools, the atheists, work. Look at what the Bible says. Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, here's the word, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Suppression of truth. You cannot have the Bible in the school in the United States of America. You cannot have God in the house of justice. You cannot have the Ten Commandments in the office of a judge. The suppression of truth. That is the enemy. That is the enemy of knowledge. The enemy of knowledge is to suppress knowledge. All right? You do not send a child. I was talking to a gentleman who never went to college. Very wealthy to him. He knows how to sell cars and buy cars. But I was talking in Houston. Very wealthy. And I said to him, now look at here. He said, I don't know how to read, sir. And I don't know how to read because nobody taught me. Do you want me to teach it? No. He said, I have enough money. I don't need it. And he was 75 years old. And he owns a big dealership. But you bring a car, he give you $100, he sell it for $1,000. He packs the cars and trailers, go to Mexico and sell it 10 times what he paid here. Cars that even don't work. Amazing. It has that kind of gift in business. But somebody suppressed that boy so that he can work in the field all his life. No education will give you a tough life. And so somebody suppressed this gentleman by the name Marcos. So he said, my parents don't want me to go to school, so I helped them in the labor. And he was an American, and born in Texas. He said, I worked all my life in Texas until I came to California. He said, I can do much better, buy cars and sell cars. And somewhere, somehow, he's a good talker, and he does the job. Speaks good English, but he doesn't know how to read. And that's what the suppression of truth is. The suppression of truth is really sneaky. It will not give you time to read your Bible. You suppress the truth. If you say, well, I'm too busy to spend 15 minutes reading the Bible, you are suppressing the truth. You are letting the enemy of God work in your own life. So first, the enemy is suppression of truth. Then secondly, rejection of truth. Look at, you are in verse 18. Look in verse 25. Because they exchange the truth about God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. I have a letter in the back here from Dr. Fowell that sent to me on the issue in California about same-sex marriage. And the argument in court is why America make us to suffer. And he has a good letter about it. You know, that is a rejection of truth. In court, you cannot say the Bible says it's a man and a woman. Well, who made man? God. Who married the first couple? God. Why we cannot bring God to court? It's suppression of truth. That is the enemy. So how blessed we are. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Young people, it's not your doctor degree will make you wise. It's how much you know God. How much you know God. Now, the conclusion in one verse is in Romans 1, verse 20. That is the capsule verse that will give you the whole message. Because the scriptures are completed according to Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. And because the Holy Spirit has been sent from heaven, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, then you are without excuse. The Bible said, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made, so we are without excuse. Do you see it? The Bible has been completed. Revelation 22, 18, 19. The Holy Spirit has been sent to teach you about Jesus. So there is no argument. You are without excuse. What I mean, Pastor, means you are guilty before God. The only person that can take that guilt away is one. The one who took that guilt upon himself. The Lord Jesus Christ. And where do you learn that, Pastor? In the Bible. But I don't like the Bible. Well, you have to like it. Because the newspaper doesn't teach that. I wish the newspaper, first page, will say, receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I wish. I'm talking to some people with money to see if we can buy one page of the Mercury, cost $70,000. First page of the Mercury, $70,000. To put John 3:16 on the Mercury. But they are checking the legality of it. The guy is willing to put the $70,000. And they are afraid. I told him, work like the mafia. Bring all cash in a little briefcase. Show it to them. Here, smell. You know, do something. Italian way. You know, go like that. But he said, the lawyers. Now, and the Mercury said, we have to check the legality of this. This is the enemy, the suppression of truth. But you know, times will be like this. The Bible said at the end of the time, they will be like this. What I don't want you is to be like that. Read your scripture, will you? Read your scripture every day together with your wife. Sit your wife. Sit down, darling. And then read the scripture. Maybe your wife sits you and she read for you. Whatever it is. But read it together. Enjoy it. Don't argue about theology. Just read it and let the knowledge of God bless you. And you're going to be a blessed woman, a blessed man. Young people, you're going to be blessed if you read the scripture about reading the material of the school. Because the beginning is the fear of the Lord. May God grant unto us that victory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the greatness that we have in Jesus. And thank you, Father, for this book of Proverbs, who in one word, knowledge, give us an insight in how to live in this world. The law of knowledge. Oh, God. Help us to acknowledge that law. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
From time to time, a family member of ours departs and leaves us from this facility and goes someplace else. And they go there and we pray for them that they are going as God has called them, and they're going to bring the message of Christ to wherever they go to be His ambassadors, His servants. And at this time, this week, this is Jerry and Moira Malone, if you'll come on up. They are leaving us from this facility, and they're going to Las Vegas, and are going to be, we know that the Lord will use them in a mighty way there. And so we have a little going away gift for you. To thank you for your time, your service, and your work. And I know Jerry's going to be here every week handing out the pamphlets in the back. So, you know, this is a time of hardship because you're leaving, but it's also a time of blessing because God is opening up new doors and new ways for you guys to serve and for us to grow all together as a people, as a body of Christ together. Amen. So let's pray for them.
Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Lord, we are able to say thank you for your salvation. Thank you for Jesus who dwells in our heart. We're able to say thank you for Jerry and Moira, who have been an inspiration, a protection, a refuge, have been a, for me and my wife, have been a true friend. And so, Father, whenever they go to church in the city that you have placed them in Las Vegas, may they too renew their fellowship with others. Thank you, Father, for the fellowship this morning. And above all, thank you for advising us that the knowledge of God is number one in our life. And if someone doesn't have that knowledge of God, I pray that in your mercy, you lead that person to read the scripture and then to find Jesus, the Lord. Lord, we are available to answer all questions. We are available to spend time with people to explain them that there is a great Savior who died for our sin, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. The cards are